What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Today, we are going to be talking about low-carb diets. And yes, I know this is something that we've talked about a handful of times on the podcast before, but I was looking back and I don't have necessarily a dedicated episode to this in particular. There's been a few guests that I've had the pleasure of having on the show. We've talked about carbohydrates, especially in like the endurance world. I've had a handful of guests with us talking about carbs and the importance of carbs for fueling, especially like endurance and ultra endurance, types of activities, in addition to just general health and well-being, like the incorporation of carbohydrate and how that could be a performance enhancer in a lot of ways. From a dieting standpoint, I also had Alan Aragon on the show this past year. That was an incredible episode. I recommend checking out part two of that conversation that we had together, where we talk about seed oils and low carb diets and a lot of the things that we're going to kind of talk about today. But again, you know, whether it be Q&As or side tangents, I don't think I've necessarily done a full on just low carb carbohydrate type of dieting episode before. And I've done one for intermittent fasting that I really enjoyed, that I wanted to be really thorough with. And I just want to do the same, because I think low carbohydrate diets deserve their own platform and deserve their own kind of individual discussion. And hopefully just want to clear some of the air around, you know, how they are or how they work, what they are, who it might be appropriate for, might not be appropriate for, how to use them in your own practice. Is that something that you even need to do if fat loss is your goal? Maybe tying it into kind of insulin resistance, you know, improving your, you know, glucose tolerance within your body. Just there's a lot of misinformation out there. And again, today I just kind of want to talk about the world of low carb dieting, because it's not going away. And it's something that, again, from a season standpoint, like a lot of people tend to want to try and lose weight fairly quickly heading into summer. And usually low carb diets are the things that I get asked about the most, that, again, I think we can kind of have a good discussion around. So first and foremost, this podcast was somewhat inspired by the timeliness and questions that I've been getting on my Q&A in the last week or two, and just people in my circle or the groups that I'm around. But I also gave a presentation today in one of my business networking groups that I'm a part of. And I had a presentation that I give, you know, once a quarter or three times a year. I get to go up there and talk in front of this group, talk about my business, what I do. Fortunately, my good friend Eric, who is guest on the podcast, who's been a guest multiple times. You've probably heard an episode with us at one point before if you've been listening to the podcast over the last year or more. But we did a joint presentation today, and we kind of did a debunking, myth-busting type of presentation. And one of the questions that I debunked or tried to debunk within a three-minute stretch, as difficult as that was the fact that low-carb diets are quote-unquote best for weight loss or just general health and well-being. So this motivation to talk about low carbs is kind of stemmed from conversations that I've already had earlier today. So I'm just going to do my best to articulate, you know, again, how this pertains to you and how you may or may not utilize this with your own health and fitness routine within the next, you know, 2 months or 2 years or beyond. But carbohydrates have for a lot of reasons, been demonized and kind of been, you know, under the gun and something that people tend to gravitate towards when it comes to weight loss in today's kind of nutrition landscape. And this isn't anything new or uncommon. Like low carb diets, you know, have dated back to the 80s, 90s, right? We saw the emergence of the Atkins diet, for example, kind of like a higher protein diet, a little bit higher fat diet, low carbohydrate diet kind of emerged, you know, keto and just low carb dieting in general is still here today, but is kind of always in the discussion when people are talking about dieting and weight loss and things that they've tried to lose weight in the past. In general, like gluten-free diet is not necessarily like a low carb diet, and there are clinical implications as to why that is important for people. But for the general population who thinks, oh, I'm just going to go like gluten-free, that's kind of a form of low carb dieting, even though they can tolerate gluten just fine. Among a list of countless other diets and dieting protocols, the South Beach diet, you know, some of these meal replacement types of diets, even the point systems, Weight Watchers, certain things can kind of, you know, allocate red number, red letters or colors or things to foods that have carbohydrates within them. And again, I don't necessarily think that that's always bad, but again, it's created this idea that carbohydrates are the villain and those are the things that we should be limiting or avoiding at all costs if we want to be healthy or if we want to maintain our weight loss long term or if we want to lose the next 5 or 10 or 15 or 50 pounds. And again, it's not going away, and there are camps and people out there that again will, you know, go to the grave defending low carb diets and why that is the best type of eating pattern for the general public. And I don't agree with that necessarily. And not to get on too many side tangents here before we even jump into the podcast episode, but I think this is where nuance and individualization really enters the chat. And when we have to appreciate the fact that all of us, you know, you, me, my mom, my best friend, your best friends, your daughter, like all of us are going to be different and have different situations and have different preferences and have different goals, right? And have just a different approach when it comes to our health and fitness. And yes, there are blanket recommendations, generalizations that I think a lot of people can abide by and do to be healthier people and healthier individuals over their lifespan. Things like eating enough protein and not over consuming calories and getting enough daily activity and resistance training and getting some cardiovascular type of training in periodically. Being in good social support networks, going to therapy, managing stress, getting good night's sleep, staying hydrated, like eating enough fiber. Like, of course, there's a lot of things that I think most people can benefit from general guidelines, but there's not necessarily a hard guideline for carbohydrates, for example, on a like a population level of like what is quote unquote best for everybody. Yes, we have recommendations on like, hey, maybe, you know, less than 10% at least, or 5% comes from of calories from your diet comes from added sugar in your diet, right? I think limiting ultra processed foods, limiting things that are very nutrient poor, that are very high in calories, like those can and are good blanket recommendations sometimes for people. But even then, like there's still a place to have your sweet chili Doritos, right? Or Oreos, or buying your Girl Scout cookies from your, you know, daughter's best friend every, you know, March or April. And so there are times and places where it's like, hey, we have to learn how to live in an environment where carbohydrates, where calories, where fats, where these, you know, highly processed foods are abundant, right? Because we can't avoid those things at all costs for the rest of our life. So low carb diet can give people a set of parameters and a set of quote unquote rules that might make them more likely to adhere to a certain eating pattern for a period of time. But again, whether they do that over the long term, like that's a different story. And again, when we look at success rates of, you know, people trying diets or doing some form of calorie restriction, whether it be intermittent fasting or, you know, carbohydrate restriction or macronutrient restriction, or even just like, you know, tracking your food in general, tracking your calories. It's like, yes, losing weight and kind of getting to that point where you're healthier, your blood markers look good, your body composition is improved. You know, maybe you're down in weight if that's a goal or something that's important to you. Like losing the weight or getting to that isn't always the hard part. It's keeping that off and living forever, eating for life after that point that a lot of people find difficulty in. And a lot of that stems from extremes and just doing things that don't reflect what their normal day-to-day lifestyle looks like. And the further away they get from that, what their normal routine looks like, again, the more likely they are to have these kind of rebound or bounce back effects after going through these kind of dieting spells. And this is where kind of the yo-yo dieter enters the conversation, where it's like, hey, yeah, once or twice a year, I'm thinking about losing weight, or every other year, I'm trying to lose weight, or I lose the same 30 pounds, but just gain it back 6 to 8 months later, and I feel like I'm square one again. A lot of those people can kind of share the you know, the sentiment there and share the similarity that they've tried low-carb dieting, or that has been a diet approach for them that they've attempted to try and lose the weight and keep that off over the long term. And again, low carb diets are not something that I'm here to shit on necessarily. I just want people to understand how they work and help them appreciate the fact that if that's something that can work for them, or if that's something that maybe we, you know, step over or don't go back to in pursuits of doing something else that might be more long lasting, that might be more conducive to you reaching your goals, instead of feeling like you can't eat, you know, any tortilla chips every time you go to your favorite Mexican restaurant, you know, when you're eating away from home and whatnot. So there's a lot to discuss here, but just to get started, I want to talk about kind of this idea of low carb diets and what they are. And we've talked about some different forms of them, but when it comes to a restriction of a macronutrient group, that is a form of calorie restriction that, again, can work for people that can control the amount of food that you are consuming on a daily basis. And ding, 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 right? Like if you limit or cut back on or avoid, you know, a source of calories or a macronutrient in the form of carbs, for example, some people can do low fat dieting as well. It's not as popular these days, but low carb diets being one of the biggest ones. Most of the time, those people are likely going to see a reduction in total calories that they are consuming over their day, weeks, months, years, sometimes for, you know, the people who are sticking to this for a while. And that is where we see a lot of the health benefits come from low carb dieting. Same thing with intermittent fasting. If you put a set of parameters on when you can eat and even what you can eat, there's maybe a higher likelihood that you are going to be able to limit or modify the amount of food that you're consuming on a daily basis. And it's the reduction in your total energy, and it's eating to closer, you know, what your energy needs might be, that is going to reflect a lot of those health promoting benefits you might get from going low carb, when it's not necessarily relating to the fact that you're just eliminating carbs completely. Okay, it's more about the calories that you are getting or not getting when you are, you know, reducing or eliminating carbs. And so we've seen the emergence of a lot of these diets. I mentioned keto. The ketogenic diet is a more extreme version of the low carb diet and low carb dieting camp. You know, keto is very appealing because the whole premise around it is like, hey, if you eat low enough carbohydrate, you start burning your body's fat as a fuel source, and you can lose more fat over time. Which, again, there's truth to this, but where people go wrong is they kind of extrapolate, you know, some of these mechanisms and over-sensationalize it, and, you know, maybe the benefits, again, that they're seeing aren't coming from the things that they think they are. It's not the fact that you're burning more fat for fuel if you're in ketosis. It's the fact that, you know, if you're losing weight or you're controlling your calories or you're eating more protein or you're eating more micronutrient dense foods, like that is where you're going to see a lot of these health benefits. It's not the fact that you're not eating bananas anymore, right? Or not eating any type of carbohydrate anymore. But keto dieting, again, is more extreme version of low carb diets, because you are eating a little amount of carbs, usually within that like 20 to 50 grams of carbs per day. Again, depending on the size, your gender, some other factors, like that might differentiate how many carbs you eat per day, because you're going to get trace amount of carbs and things like vegetables and, you know, even protein, you know, can be converted into glucose, if we're technically speaking here. But you're not going to be completely carb free, but even going low enough to 40, 50 grams of carbs per day, we can start to see people produce ketones. And that is something that is going to be used as their primaries or their body's primary fuel source versus carbohydrate, which is your body's preferred energy fuel source. So when you go low carb enough, you can flip this switch in your body, metaphorically speaking, where, and maybe it's not a light switch where you're not burning any carbs ever, but predominantly it's more of like a dimmer switch, right? You just turn it up and you're like, hey, I'm burning more fat as my fuel source here. I'm using ketones, and that is what is, you know, fueling my energy demands and energy needs as I go out, you know, throughout the course of the day and during my exercise and whatnot. But again, keto is a very extreme version of that. People can go low carb, which is like, hey, maybe not eating carbs with their meals or eating less than 100 grams of carbs per day. Maybe you're not sitting here pricking your finger or checking your urine for, you know, ketone bodies and seeing if you're in ketosis, because people can do that. Ironically, the people who say they go keto, that's not something that they do, and they might unknowingly, you know, not be in ketosis because they're, you know, maybe not tracking food and not having a great understanding of what sources of carbohydrates are. And they might be thinking that, oh yeah, you know what, I'm not eating chips and, you know, processed foods and a lot of these like carbohydrate rich snacks. and I'm just eating like potatoes and meat and, you know, sweet potatoes and some of these other foods on occasion. It's like, oh yeah, but those potatoes have carbohydrates in them, right? Like the brown rice you're eating have carbohydrates in them. People think that just avoiding all processed quote unquote carbs is a one way ticket to getting to ketosis when that's not how this happens either. But in general, just minimizing or reducing the amount of carbohydrates that can result in fat loss because, again, you are limiting the amount of calories you're consuming over time. Most people can find their way in a deficit if they are eating low carb for a period of time. And that is where we see weight loss happen. Again, it's not necessarily because you are, burning more fat. Yes, technically you might be burning more fat because you are eating more fat. But that does not equate to total fat loss. Okay. And this is a big differentiator that I want to make here and that I want to talk about is because I mentioned in my meeting today, but it's a question that I want to ask you and we'll kind of talk about how and why this might work. But for somebody sitting here and let's say for the next 7 days from now, you go keto or you go low carb, we can kind of use that interchangeable here. Those are not the same thing, but we'll kind of just, you know, assume that people are eliminating or really reducing the amount of carbohydrates that they're consuming on a day-to-day basis. But let's say we have two people, identical set of genetics, which again, doesn't happen, circumstances, life, we equate for total calories. They're eating the same amount of fiber and they're getting the same amount of protein every day. But one person is eating low carb and the other person is eating maybe a more balanced kind of macronutrient distribution. They're having a decent amount of carbs, proteins, and fats throughout the course of the day. While this other person is maybe eating, you know, enough protein, predominantly fat, and very little to no like carbohydrates throughout the course of the day. If we have those same two people, assuming calories are equated and protein is equated, who do you think is going to lose the most weight within a 7-day stretch? And furthermore, if we take those same two people, who do you think is going to lose the most weight at maybe a 30-day increment and a 60-day increment or more? Thinking on that for a second, if you answered, hey, if we have somebody who goes low carb in the short term, they're going to lose more weight quickly, you answered correctly. You know, when I asked this question earlier today, I heard a combination of different answers, but hey, yeah, assuming the calories are the same, they're going to lose the same amount of weight at every, you know, time frame increment. When in reality, most people who go low carb are going to see the quickest drop in weight, within that first 5 to 10 day stretch, 2 week stretch. And a lot of that comes from water weight. Okay. And again, this is something that I really want to highlight here because a lot of people associate a drop in weight with always a drop in body fat or body fat percentage, which is just not the case. Okay. Now, low carb dieters experience quicker weight loss in the short term because as, you know, doing a little, you know, science lesson here for the people who don't know, when we eat carbohydrate and we have our carbohydrate stored into our muscle cells or our liver, for example, it's stored in the form of glycogen. For every 1 gram of glycogen that we store in our muscle cells, 3 grams of water are attached alongside that. So when you have somebody who completely cuts out or eliminates carbohydrates and you're burning through all of these glycogen stores and you're not replenishing them because you're not eating any more carbs, you are going to see a massive, massive scale fluctuation and water weight fluctuation happen relatively quickly because you're burning through a lot of those carbohydrate stores and you are going to see a lot of water weight lost in addition to you using your glycogen. So it's not uncommon for people to start keto and to see a 2, 3, 4, 10 pound weight loss within a week or two stretch. And again, you can see how this is a very dopamine seeking behavior. You can see how this might feed, people kind of this like positive reinforcement. It's like, hey, I cut out this macronutrient group and then I lose a bunch of weight. Like that must be good. That must be the thing that I want. And that gets me the quickest results. So therefore I'm going to start doing that for the next 8 weeks before I go to Cabo for my family's, you know, beach vacation for summer break. And so we have somebody who, okay, yeah, maybe you lose more water weight in that first 7 day, 14 day stretch. But what about the people, those same two people at 30 days, at 60 days and beyond? Again, big caveat here is as long as calories and protein are equated, it doesn't matter if you are keto or if you are high carb, those two people are going to see the same amount of weight loss at these longer time frame increments, compared to somebody who's just exclusively going low carb diet or who is exclusively cutting out all carbs in their diet. And that is something that I really want you guys to take home with you, is it's the fact that it's not you cutting out carbs that's getting you these magical benefits of weight loss, you know, over a month, 2 month, 3 month stretch here. It's the fact that you're reducing the total amount of food and calories that you're consuming on a daily basis. Now, this again brings me back to this conversation between substrate utilization and fat loss. And for those of you who are not familiar with what substrate utilization is, it's essentially what your body is using primarily for its energy source. And we talked about how if you go into keto and you're not eating any carbs, your body is going to switch from its preferred energy source, which is carbohydrate, to you being in ketosis and your body using ketones to fuel that, you know, those energy demands. And that is primarily created from body fat and fat within our body. And so again, you can see how, hey, this is very appealing for somebody looking to lose body fat. It's like, hey, if I can eat in a way that I don't eat carbs and I burn more fat and that's my body's primary fuel source, like, of course I'm going to think about doing that and thinking that is the best way to do it. When again, in reality, if we compare groups of people who eat low carb or high carb or moderate carb or, you know, more even distributions of macronutrients, as long as the total amount of calories that you're consuming on a daily basis is equated, it does not matter what method you choose. And this is important because a lot of people out here are sitting here thinking that they have to go low carb the rest of their life, or they have to be mindful or not eat any carbs for a 8 week or 12 week stretch in order to lose weight. And that's just not true. And I find that this is something that hopefully can be liberating for people, because I want you to appreciate the fact that you trying to lose weight does not mean you need to cut back on all the things you enjoy eating or like eating, or not eat fruit or your white rice or brown rice or bonza pasta or, you know, sweet or regular potatoes or whatever it is that you're eating. Right? Like, you can and you absolutely will lose weight as long as you are, you know, matching what your energy needs are and eating in a deficit, whatever that looks like for you. And again, that will look different depending on person's activity goals and medical diagnosis and past medical history and whether or not you have PCOS and, you know, some of these medical conditions that people might be struggling. Yes, there's nuances that can come with that, but the parameters and the game that we're playing is the same for everybody. It's like, we have to eat to our energy needs and eat to our, you know, to our needs to maintain weight, or eat less than what we're burning on a daily basis in order to see weight loss. And again, most people find that if I just cut carbs, naturally it can help me eat less, and people can naturally be in a deficit because of that. But again, sometimes that doesn't teach people how to live with carbohydrates in their diet. It only teaches them how to be afraid of them. And it's far too often you see it, right? Somebody start dieting or they are getting ready for their beach vacation and they're going to go low carb for 8 weeks. And, you know, all of a sudden you have 2-3 weeks and you're losing a lot of water weight. And maybe you're down 7 pounds in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden you have a girls' night, or you meet up with your friends, or you go to a family dinner and you have a glass of wine and there's rice and you have a little bit of ice cream for dessert. And all of a sudden you weigh yourself the next day and you're up 3 pounds. Is that all fat mass gain? Absolutely not, right? A lot of it and most of it is going to be water weight, and also just like stomach content, like just the amount of food you eat might've been different or more than what you're consistently eating. Again, all things that can lead to more water retention or just an increased number of, you know, of weight that you see on the scale. But people, again, build this negative association where it's like, hey, when I cut out carbohydrates and I lose weight and I see low numbers, that's great. And then when I have this one night of a cheat meal or a weekend, or I go on a bachelor party and I come home and I'm 5 or 6 pounds up, that negative association that you feel when you had carbs that weekend, you know, only can develop disordered eating patterns or disordered relationship with carbohydrates or the food that you're eating, when again, we don't have to experience that to be healthy and to be successful with your weight loss and your health pursuits long term. So I want to differentiate between this kind of substrate utilization, because we have people out here who, yeah, maybe they're eating a shit ton of carbohydrates and maybe they're quote unquote not burning as much fat as their energy source throughout the course of the day, but that's because they're not eating as much fat. Right? And they're eating predominantly carbohydrates and that's being used for energy. Whereas somebody who's eating more lower carb, they're eating more fat, but they're burning more fat as well. And you're not burning, you know, glycogen or carbohydrate because maybe you're not eating the, you know, amount of carbohydrates that you could be or have been eating in the past. But it does not matter necessarily like what your body's fuel source is at the time. It matters how much food you're eating, how many calories you're eating throughout the course of the day and throughout the course of the week, and how adherent and consistent you are with that over the long term. That is what differentiates fat loss versus like water weight loss, you know, especially in the short term and the interim. So just because somebody's eating low carb does not mean that that will automatically equate to fat loss because you're burning more fat for fuel. It's just your body acclimating to the type of food that you're eating and doing what it can with that, right? And so I've personally found that a mix of both carbohydrate and fats and kind of having those in conjunction with one another and not going mega low on either is something that's been really helpful for me and something that's been really helpful for clients as well. And again, appreciating the fact where it's like, hey, as long as, you know, we're not overeating, we're over consuming and we're eating to our energy needs, like the macronutrient distribution doesn't really matter that much between, you know, carbs and fats, especially. Protein, I would argue that there is kind of a daily minimum that people should be shooting for each day. And keeping that kind of stable day to day could be great. But man, some days people might, you know, look at their food and like, hey, I had a higher fat day. And then the next day they have a higher carbohydrate day, right? Like you can have these days where they're inconsistent. You don't have to hit the same amount of, this is my thing with like tracking macros, is it creates more rigidity for no benefit on the back end of that, when you could just track calories, your protein, and kind of just let your carbs and fats fall where they may each day and feel a lot more freedom and flexibility doing that instead of trying to come within 5% of your carbs and fats every single day. It just creates this like mental gymnastics that's unnecessary, that's for little or no return on that investment in the first place. But again, I just want you to appreciate the fact that, yeah, carbs can and do fit into your life if you want them to, and not being afraid of them is probably what your best life looks like going forward if you've struggled with low carb dieting or trying to lose weight in the past and that's your main source of calorie restriction at the end of the day. So big takeaways here so far is like, hey, substrate utilization and what your body is using for fuel does not automatically equate to how much fat you are going to lose off of your frame. Right? Your fat loss comes down to the net balance of how much you're eating and how much your body is burning on a daily basis. And as long as you're burning less, you're going to see weight loss or maintenance of your new body weight. And again, if you're eating more than what you're consuming, which again, going keto is not a foolproof way to just lose weight all the time. I've seen plenty of times people gain weight, unnecessary and unwanted body weight on keto, because they say, okay, cool, I'm not going to eat my bread and bagels and all of these carbohydrate snacks and things that I'm eating, and I'm going to have eggs and butter and fucking ribeyes and eat bacon every single morning and, you know, have, you know, three avocados every single day. And before you know it, you're loading up on a lot of these fat sources, which have 9 grams per calorie or 9 grams or 9 calories per gram, excuse me, compared to protein and carbohydrates, which have 4 calories per gram. So fat sources are more calorically dense when compared to the other macronutrients, but people can absolutely overeat or overshoot their calories unknowingly or unintentionally just because you're eating more energy dense foods. So just because you're going low carb does not mean you're going to lose weight. The amount of food you eat is still important, but I find that, again, most people find some success on low carb dieting in the short term because it helps them limit a lot of the calories that they might be consuming on any given day. Now, on that topic, something that, again, kind of grinds my gears is people think that carbs are the only reason why people eat more food over time, right? If you look at all of the carbohydrates out there and you look at all of the foods that are quote unquote carbs that you might exclude on a low carb diet, for example, we have things like baked goods and ice cream, you know, and like hamburgers with a bun and French fries. And we have pasta and, you know, potatoes, different forms of potatoes or preparation, you know, from potatoes themselves. You know, a lot of the carbohydrates that we look at and the way we are eating them and the foods that we are getting them in also have a fuck ton of fat alongside that as well, right? A lot of those foods are also high sources of fat, not only carbohydrates. So people think that by them cutting back on carbohydrates, you know, alone, that they're just cutting back on carbs and that's the thing that's giving them the most benefit, when in reality, man, you're just not eating a ton of high calorie foods throughout the course of the day. And let's be honest, like think about the last time that maybe you went to a restaurant and you got the bread and you just ate the bread by itself straight up from the loaf dry, right? No, it's like you go to Texas Roadhouse or you go to your Italian restaurant or you go somewhere and you have the bread. It's like, no, you have butter with that shit, right? Or you have olive oil, balsamic with it. Like, no, when you have pasta, just plain nothing on it. It's like, no, you add butter or creamy sauce or oils, you know, infused with that pasta. You go to the movie theaters or you get popcorn. It's like, cool, the popcorn is carbohydrate, but you know how much fucking butter they put on that shit? Same with cakes and cookies and pastries. It's like, yeah, you go get a donut. Yeah, you bet your ass there's going to be a ton of added sugar in there, but guess what else they use? You know, they use butter and fat sources and they deep fry things and there's extra calories included in them. Aside from the carbohydrates that, again, you're saving by going quote unquote low carb, when in reality, it's just the reduction in the total amount of calories that you're consuming on a daily basis is really what made the biggest difference. So carbs, again, are not the bad guys, right? They're not something that you need to avoid at all costs. They're not, going low carb is not something you need to do to see success over the long term with your health and fitness. And again, I think the sooner people can realize that, the more we can incorporate them, the more we can include them within our diet. And you might find that adherence and consistency and enjoyment and quality of life all improves because you realize that it is possible to eat your daughter's cookies that you guys made last night with her with a glass of milk at the end of the night and not have that be the reason why you're gaining weight or not losing weight, right? You can absolutely include these things and learn how to live with them because chances are they're not going away for most people. And learn how to live in today's food environment, learn how to, you know, accommodate for some of the yummy, tasty foods that you enjoy eating, but also primarily doing a lot of the things that, you know, you need to do really well too. Eating high volume foods, eating more fibrous foods, eating more nutrient dense foods, reducing the amount of like hyper palatable, ultra processed foods we're eating, you know, not going or eating away from home as consistently as some people do. Like all the things we know we need to do to be a generally healthy person, like, you know, you can do that with carbohydrates included in them. You don't have to be afraid of the fact that, you know, you had a milkshake or a ice cream sundae from McDonald's because that's what you're craving one night. Like those things can absolutely fit. So I add that caveat here because a lot of people paint carbs out to be this bad guy. But in reality, a lot of the ultra processed and packaged foods that we're eating, you turn over the bag of chips, like, no, those fuckers are cooked in oil, right? And, you know, they have different ingredients in there that are fat sources that, you know, build up that 200 calories per serving compared to it just being only carbohydrates on the ingredients list. So I have to make that note because, again, as soon as we can get out of this idea that carbs are the root of all evil and carbs are the thing we need to demonize most and carbs are the root cause for obesity and insulin resistance in our country, like, it's not the case. It's just the fact that people are super sedentary. You know, the average American gets less than 4,000 steps on average throughout the course of the day for, you know, the course of the year. You know, most Americans are not eating enough fruits and vegetables every single day. The average, you know, American is eating more than like 3,000 calories a day on average. You know, we eat a lot of food and we don't move a lot. We're not very active. And that's why we see at a population level, a lot of these numbers continuing to skew in the wrong direction in terms of overweight, obesity, mortality, you know, chronic disease, development, cancers, all of these things, again, can and are in heavily influenced by how much we eat and what we eat, right? And how consistently we do that over time. So long story short, carbs are not necessarily the bad guy here. And if there's anything that you take away from this episode today, it's the fact that like you can incorporate them. And that's something that your best life probably looks like you having and including carbs daily or consistently throughout the course of the week and at least not being afraid to eat them. And again, I just want you to appreciate how this works. It's more about the amount and the total calories that you're consuming more so than the actual macronutrient that you're restricting or eating a lot of. The other thing that I want to make a note of that I find be a huge benefit for people who are on the low carb diet train and people who do choose to, you know, cut back on the amount of carbohydrates they're eating is by default, they tend to eat more protein and they tend to eat more vegetables, right? They tend to eat more fibrous sources. They tend to cut back on a ton of packaged and ultra processed food. It's almost like the subtraction of some of these things in your diet. And again, with the addition of you having a higher protein diet and actually, you know, eating 140 grams of protein per day and drinking more water and not drinking sugar sweetened beverages. It's like, you know, addition by subtraction. Sometimes when you're subtracting a lot of these low quality foods and swapping them for high quality foods, like that is a huge benefit that people can see, whether they're on keto or whether they're low carb or that they're just trying to be mindful throughout the course of the day and throughout the course of the week with their eating routine. But it's, again, not just the carbs, like you not changing anything and you just eating less carbs. Very rarely does that happen. Most of the time, people who go keto, who go low carb, those are also the people who are more mindful about trying to get more steps in and who are trying to get their lifts in or their workout classes done every single week. And also, ideally, you know, understand the importance of having protein at every single meal and getting enough protein every single day. You know, and getting some micronutrient diversity and actually eating enough fiber. It's, again, it's not just the carbohydrates. It's usually the addition of a lot of the other things that people start doing well that you see a lot of these health benefits at the end of the day too. So that is kind of the crux of this conversation that we're going to have today. But big takeaways so far is like, hey, weight loss does not always equate to fat loss, right? Like people who go low carb keto, you might see a lot of weight loss fluctuations in the very beginning quicker than the person who might be having a more balanced macronutrient distribution. But weight loss does not equate to you just losing total body fat when you're losing that 5 to 10 pounds within that first, you know, 2 weeks or month of you following a low carb diet. You losing glycogen, you losing water alongside that, you also losing some muscle and some lean tissue in addition to fat. Like those are all things that can lead to these big, you know, scale fluctuations. And I just want you to appreciate the fact that just because you're seeing a lower number on the scale quicker with the keto diet or low carb diet does not make that superior versus somebody else following a more structured, kind of balanced approach, eating, you know, a decent amount of carbs, proteins, and fats at every single meal. Assuming everyone, you know, eats the same amount of calories over a month or 2 month, 3 month stretch, those people are going to see identical weight loss results over a longer period of time. Whereas the people who are low carb might, you know, see a little bit quicker drop in weight in the very beginning. But again, that's total body water, total, you know, non-fat mass lost is not usually the game that people are after here. A lot of people are in the game for body recomposition, building muscle, losing fat, dropping body fat percentage. And we do that by managing our calories. And again, if going low carb or going keto or putting some self-imposed kind of like limitations with the types of foods that you're eating, if that's helpful for you and you found success doing that, and that's something you can kind of stick to and lean on, like by all means, you can continue to do that. Like that's not something that I want to shy people away from, but it's not the end all be all. And I find a lot of people get caught in this camp where it's like, I have to do this in order to see progress. And that's just absolutely not true. Okay. At the end of the day, what I want most people to remember, especially as they go into the summer months here and as we've kind of finished the rest of this year, is that being honest with yourself and identifying what an ideal life might look like what is my dream weight? What is my dream physique? What does my dream kind of lifestyle or eating pattern look like? Like, what does my relationship with food look like? Like, ask yourself a lot of these questions, and we can kind of use that as somewhat of like a guiding compass of general recommendations when it comes to, you know, controlling what you eat and how much you eat. Because again, for some people, they might sit here and be like, yeah, you know what? I want to lose 10 pounds and I find that I really like carbohydrates, but I don't usually like eating in the morning. And I don't like tracking food necessarily, but I know if I skip breakfast, I can control my calories at the end of the day. And, you know, I can kind of just drink water and I get my workouts in the afternoon and, you know, I'm not super starving at the end of the day. Like for that person, you might sit here and be like, oh yeah, you know what? Maybe trying an intermittent fasting protocol could be appropriate and could be something that works really well for you. Another person might be sitting here and being like, oh, I love savory foods. That's my favorite shit. That's all I eat. You know, I could care less about sweet tooth and having candy and desserts and treats and all that stuff. And, you know, if I can kind of get my hands on a nice salty, you know, savory, you know, protein source or breakfast or insert whatever type of like higher protein, higher fat option you can have, you know, sometimes maybe leaning into that was like, yeah, you know what? You don't like carbs. It's not your favorite food group. It's not something that you feel like you need to include every single meal, for example. Like that person might find a lot of success having a lower carbohydrate diet over the long term. Again, acknowledging the fact that if we're getting our nutrients from elsewhere, we're eating enough fiber sources, or we're, you know, building our plates around, you know, meeting our minimum, you know, nutrition needs throughout the course of the day. You can't just like sit here and eat bacon for every single meal, bacon and cheese, and, you know, just have four eggs all the time and call it good. Like, no, the diversity of our diet is still important here. But yeah, somebody sitting here thinking like, yeah, you know what? I don't need to have carbs, and I don't crave, you know, like ice cream or chips or things at the end of the day, or it's not really something that's a problem point for me. Like, yeah, that person might sit here and be like, I like the low carb stuff over time, and I prefer that type of eating pattern. And who are we to say that that's a bad thing, right? Same goes for somebody else who is, you know what? I like eating all macros, and every day looks different for me, and maybe tracking for a period of time to appreciate how much you're eating and how much it, you know, how many calories you should be eating to reach your goals, or what being in a deficit might look like with the inclusion of carbohydrates and fats and some of these foods that you might enjoy. And for them, like tracking food, right? And tracking is an option for everybody here, but maybe having this more flexible dieting approach and tracking food and your macronutrients and doing that for a period of time to learn about how much you're eating and learn about what it is that you need to do to construct your plate to feel more full and satiated and satisfied after these meals. Man, like that might, that person might have a lot of success tracking food for a period of time and appreciating the fact that, oh yeah, you know what? Like I can have my oats every single morning, and I can have a smoothie, and I can eat all of these like higher carbohydrate foods and have them around my training and be really strategic with that and feel my best while, you know, being in a deficit or while eating at maintenance. Like that person might find a lot of success with that eating regimen and going low carb, or maybe that's something they've done in the past isn't something that's actually practical or enjoyable for them. And I'm, again, looking at all these individual situations. There's a million kind of like examples that we could go over here, but I'm going to bet on the person that somewhat enjoys these eating routines, or that acknowledges the trade-offs and acknowledges that, hey, this version of eating and, you know, taking care of my health sucks less than, you know, how it might apply to somebody else's life. And again, how can we find that, individualize that to you is really, it's really the answer that a lot of people are looking for. But it takes time, it takes trial and error, it takes understanding how things work, and it takes just being a critical thinker sometimes, and, kind of having this curiosity mindset over the long term, that you start to realize how this stuff stacks up over time. And before you know it, a year or two goes by, you've lost weight, you've maintained your weight, you're building strength. Maybe your new goal is gaining weight in the form of lean muscle tissue, right? Like before you know it, you're hitting these different benchmarks and these stepping stones, and you're out of the, hey, how can I diet forever type of mentality. That's ideally where we want to get to, but it's the diet before the diet phase, and it's the diet after the diet phase, right? It's kind of the before and after that's just as important as somebody sitting here trying to lose weight for summer. And again, I'm not saying that you have to have the same eating lifestyle and routine in a deficit as, you know, you at maintenance or you for the rest of your life. Like, of course, there's going to be some sacrifices, some temporary trade-offs for you to maybe reduce the amount of food you're eating or increase the activity that you're doing on a daily basis, and doing that for a period of time to get down to a goal weight or a goal body composition, that is absolutely part of this equation. But again, we can individualize that to you, and it doesn't have to be low carb to get you there. Okay. Contrary to popular belief, you know, going low carb is not the only way to reach your health and fitness pursuits. And I want that to be something that is motivating for people. And if you're somebody who's like myself, who enjoys carbohydrates and who can't picture life without, you know, eating a churro when I go to fucking Disneyland, like those are the things that, again, if you can get to a place where you are enjoying the food you're eating and you're understanding how much you should be eating of these things, and you're accounting for all of this, you know, these different types of foods throughout the course of the day, that's when this whole flexible dieting approach and this intuitive eating approach and all of these things can start to become a little bit easier over the long term, instead of you feeling like you have to live or die by the set of rules that was placed on you by some, information you found on Instagram or some diet book that you read or what your favorite influencers are saying or what they did to lose their weight. You have to remember that this shit needs to apply to you. And I think that the low carb type of rhetoric that we see out there is just glamorizes this, like this thing that's on this pedestal that can and does work for everybody. But again, me being on the other side of this where people come to me and we work together and I see the damage that some of these diets and these mindsets have on people, we're often unlearning a lot of old habits, behaviors, thoughts, and beliefs that they've instilled within their lives throughout the last 10 years. And that's the biggest barrier, you know, in the beginning. And as we start to incorporate more foods, and people don't freak the fuck out when they have a half a bagel with their eggs in the morning. Like, those are things that are a reality for a lot of people that you don't always hear in the health and fitness space. And, you know, you don't hear those success stories as the same person who lost 30 pounds in 30 days on the Women's World magazine by cutting out these 5 carbohydrate rich foods. Like, that's the shit that sells. That's the shit that gets your attention. But those are also the lies and the messaging that kind of keep you in this just negative feedback loop of thinking that carbs are the things that are out to get us. And those are the things that we have to eliminate at all costs. So that was a word vomit and a half. And I feel like I touched on a lot of things, but I'm looking at the time here and I'm shocked. We're already, 40, 50 minutes into this thing, but I'm going to cut it there. Maybe we'll do a part 2 and talk about more nuanced discussions around low carbohydrates. But in general, I just wanted to say my 2 cents on them. I know if you've been listening to me for a while, nothing that you heard today is super groundbreaking. And if anything, it's just reinforcing the things that you already know. But for the people who are hearing this idea for the first time that you don't have to go low carb to lose weight, like, again, I want you to appreciate the fact that that is and can be a reality for you. And you don't have to force yourself to go low carb and, you know, be miserable the rest of your life if that's something that brings frustration and misery to you. So at the end of the day, remember to either purpose, train with attention, think with confidence as you work towards your own nutrition and fitness goals. If you listened all the way up until this point, you know I appreciate you. And I hope you guys take care. I got a couple cool guests coming on here in the next couple weeks or so. I'm excited to bring you those episodes. And let me know if I could do anything for you in the meantime. Okay? Hope you have a good one. We'll talk soon. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.